So how did I choose to speak about this passage today? Well, it happened because when Pastor Matt was texting me and asked if I would be willing to preach today, of course, it's a little bit different when you're not in the flow of preaching every Sunday. And it happened that I had read this verse, verses 13 to 16 that morning in my quiet time, and it had really impacted me. And so I said, well, I took a couple of days to just think about it and pray about it. And I said, no, I think this is what I feel like God is leading me to talk about today. The last time I was with you, I talked about the power of prayer and the importance of prayer and mission. And today I want to talk about the power and importance of faith. And one of the questions that you end up doing when you're on the mission field that you are often asking yourselves is, and honestly, this may sound a little bit silly, but you start to ask yourself, what are we doing? And what are we accomplishing? And why are we here? And it seems like maybe a little bit of a strange thing to ask. You would think we know all of those things, but I think all of us in our lives and all of us in our ministries, we have those days, don't we? Days when we can't see the end. Days when we wonder, are we making any difference by what we're doing? Are we making any progress of where we're going? And certainly as missionaries, we have that question as well. And one of the questions that even you may ask as a church when it comes to missions is you look at that back wall, all the missionaries you're supporting, you may even wonder to yourself, what is happening? What's the impact that's being made? Why are we doing what we're doing in supporting missions? And we can even ask that for our lives. You know, we're called to go, therefore, to all nations and to preach the gospel, to make disciples of all people, to teach them the commands of Christ, to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is our great commission, what we're called to be doing. And we wonder in the culture that we're in, are we making any difference? And so I really found that these verses really made an impact on me. And so I want to just share a few insights from this Hebrews chapter 11 with you. I started with those verses of 13 through 16 because what I saw there is that Paul is speaking to Hebrew believers who are currently facing persecution, but he will be facing even greater persecution, and who might be asking this same question themselves. How do we live? Are we making any difference? Where is God in the midst of all that I'm experiencing? Is the cost that I'm having to pay for serving Christ and for living for him, is it worth it? Because every time we step out in faith, every time we serve the Lord, there's both a blessing, but there's also a cost. There's something we gain, but there's also something that we sacrifice as well. And so as we read through these passages, it was encouraging me to see that what all of these great heroes of our faith that we talk about as we read through those verses, although they would never have looked upon themselves as heroes of faith, that's just what we call them, because we look at these people and we're amazed at the faith that they exercise, but that what made them commendable was their faith, their dependence on God, their relationship with God, their desire to know God. And of course, as we look at the disciples, as we look at the apostles, as we even look around at each other, we look at those people that we admire so much are those that have a deep and abiding and rich relationship with Jesus Christ. It's why we look at Paul. It's why we look at Peter, and we want to emulate their faith because we think of their deep faith in God. And we ask that question, what is it that enabled people like this to do what they did? And even as we read through these passages, you know, Paul gets to this part at the end of the passage where he said, I've run out of time. What do I say about all of these other people of Jephthah and David and of the prophets? And then he talks about all the different things that they did. And you'll notice there's a separation. Some of the things that they did were just amazing. You know, the dead were raised and the gospel was spread and all these amazing things happened. But they also suffered. They also died for their faith. They also experienced pain and persecution. And what is it that enable people to do that, to go through these sorts of things? It's faith, but it's faith in God. It's faith in Jesus Christ. It's an intimate, day-by-day relationship with Jesus that enables them to do that. Because none of these people, I'm telling you, set out to be included in Hebrews chapter 11. You know, whether you're talking about Abel, whether you're talking about Enoch, whether you're talking about Moses or Abraham, none of those people, that it's not anything that they set out to do. They just encountered the living God, and they desire to know him and live for him each and every day. So we can kind of flip through some of these slides. Go to the next one and the next one. And so we look, that's really where it all begins and ends, isn't it? With faith. And we look at, we have to fast forward to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, where it's at the beginning of verse 1 of chapter 12, then Paul says, consider this great cloud of witnesses. And don't become discouraged in your faith. Don't turn back to your own ways, but keep going. And then he says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of your faith. And this is what all men and women who follow Jesus are called to do. And so sometimes what I was thinking about is on the mission field, sometimes we measure ourselves by what we accomplish, the things that we do, the ministries that we build, the numbers that we might be able to have and to be able to report back to our supporting churches and back to the home office. The same pressure we have in our local churches to measure our success as a church by the number of people that are coming on a Sunday morning or attending the programs at the church or what the budget looks like, how we're able to handle all those things. But that's not the measure of success in the kingdom of God. Amen? It's our relationship with the Father. It's our intimacy with God Almighty. It's, are we abiding in Jesus, and is Jesus abiding in us? And is that happening more and more each and every day? And so as we were reflecting on this passage, this is what enabled all of the people listed in this chapter of Scripture to be able to persevere through faith. It's what makes our sacrifice joyful. That's the title of the message, the joyful sacrifice of faith. And we sacrifice what we cannot keep for that which we cannot lose. That famous quote from the missionary Jim Elliot, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Our relationship to Jesus Christ. When we come to the end of our days, we can keep none of the things that we've accumulated in this life other than our relationship with Jesus, amen? And so that always needs to be the priority in front of us. And even in missions, that needs to be priority in front of us. And as we are partnering together in the work of missions, you and us, that's what we need the greatest prayers for, is that Cindy and I will grow deeper in Jesus each and every day, because it's the outflow of that relationship in Jesus that enables us to be his hands and feet. And if we don't have that depth of that daily walk with Jesus, his Holy Spirit living in us, operating out of not our power, but the power of the Holy Spirit, then what we do is in vain. Because it's what we do is done out of our strength and our ideas and our abilities. And I always thought, even when I was pastoring in the local church, I said, I know what the church can do when we do the work. But what I want to see is what would a church look like when the church is letting God do the work? We can do a lot of really great things, right? We can do retreats, and we can do events, and we can do evangelistic outreaches. And if we do them in our own strength, good things can happen. But what could happen if the Spirit of God really flowed out in power in the work that we were doing? Wouldn't there be even so much more impact that would be made? And that's why the priority for the church and the priority for us as individuals and the priority for us as missionaries always has to come back to looking to Jesus. It always has to be to coming to him and to worshiping him and to growing in him and abiding in him. And so that really is the focus of that. But also we have to look to God's promise, because this is the second thing we see from all those heroes of the faith that we read through in this chapter of Hebrews. Is he says, as they were growing day by day in Jesus, they were able to hear and to see the promise that he had put before them. And their aim and their goal was to walk into the promise that God has given him. This is a verse that struck me, verse 16. It says, but as it is, they desired a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. I love the story of Abraham. I love how he's commended in this passage, because God told him to go somewhere, and Abraham was willing to follow God and go, even though he did not know where he was going. And I thought, doesn't that kind of describe, I know for me it describes the way I feel a lot of times. It says, God, I know you're leading me somewhere, but I don't know exactly where I'm going to end up. And that's the walk of faith. The walk of faith, we don't always know what the end result is, but God is always faithful to show us what is the next step that we're to walk into. So for Abel, it was to offer an appropriate sacrifice. For Enoch, it was to trust in God by faith in an intimate relationship. And he had such an intimate relationship with God that God took him to be with himself. Abraham, Noah had that kind of faith where he was willing to trust God even when God asked him to do something that doesn't make sense to the natural mind, to build an ark as a way of delivering his family. And we can walk through all the other characters in this passage, Moses and David and all the other characters that we read about, Jacob and Joseph and everyone else. We see those pictures in there. But the thing is, there's a flow, because as we spend time in God's presence, as we're growing deeper in him, as we're abiding more in him, we're able to hear and to see and to be exposed to what is the promise of God in our lives. What are the next steps that he's calling us to make, and how can we begin to walk into those next steps? The picture that's up here is the pictures of our Tabitha Center that's in Kuali. These are some of the sewing students that are in our program. And we take students that are from the streets, girls that really don't have a future, and they come into our program and they start to learn a skill, sewing, and they start to learn a new identity about who they are in Jesus. And in many ways, they begin to hear for the first time what is the promise that God has for them. And of course, they don't know what the end result is going to be, but they can know that they can be surrounded by a group of people that will encourage them to keep pursuing and walking into the promise that God has for them. And then we look to God's purpose. The verse that I have chosen for this is verse 6. He says, and without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. What is our purpose? Our purpose is to follow him. It's to follow wherever God might lead us. The one guiding principle I would say for our ministry in Malawi is to look to see what God is doing and to join him in his work. As we look at the circumstances around us in Malawi, and I think the same thing is becoming true here in the U.S., we become overwhelmed with the problems. In Malawi, we become overwhelmed with the poverty. We become overwhelmed with the brokenness of institutions. We become overwhelmed with the corruption of the government. We become overwhelmed with the lack of progress for people to be able to make in their lives, the lack of opportunity for young people to be able to work and to find a future, the lack of opportunity to dream, things that we take for granted here, and it becomes very overwhelming. But the purpose that God has given us in Malawi is not to fix everything, but it's to listen for the voice of God, to say, God, what is the next thing that you're calling us to do? And then by obedience, to walk into that next thing. And that's what we see as we walk through this book of Hebrews, through this chapter 11. We see that these are men and women, they're commended for their faith because they were willing to stop. You know, there's a wonderful verse in the Psalms that said, "Be still and know that I am God." And sometimes we need to take that moment to stop and to listen and to ask ourselves and to ask God, "God, what are you saying to me? God, what are you calling me to do? What's this next step that you're asking me to take?" And then our purpose is just to take that next step, to follow in obedience to him. You know, for us, there came that was actually the decision point for coming to Malawi. Our first mission trip in 2013, we came to Malawi and were so impacted by the people of Malawi and the circumstances that were there and the deep poverty, but it was the relationships that we were able to initiate. And I remember flying home on the plane that trip. I can actually remember where I was sitting, and of course Cindy and I were sitting together, and I just started weeping. And Cindy leaned over and said, what's the matter? And he said, "I just can't get the pictures of the kids out of my head." And that's one of the ways that we knew that God was bringing a call to us to serve in Malawi. And we didn't make a decision based off of that, but we began to take steps and to ask God, "Okay, God, you're impacting my heart because of this. What do you want us to do?" Of course, at the time, we would have never thought that we'd be living in Malawi, because we would have said at the moment, that's kind of a crazy thing. We wouldn't do that. But little by little, God just brought scriptures, he brought people, he brought circumstances that helped to communicate to us, yeah, this is the next step. And what about the church here? Why are you involved with all the people on that back window with missions? It's because God brought to you as a church next steps to take. And as you take one step of obedience, he shows you the next step of obedience, and then the next step of obedience, and then the next step of obedience. And that's how we walk in the purposes of God. We don't ever start thinking about the grand plan at the end that we're going to be able to walk into, because if we would, we'd run in terror the other way. This picture that we have is a young man, Julius. He has cerebral palsy. We never intended with our school to work with special needs children. But one day, when we were signing up kids for the school, his parents, his mom came, and he had Julius on her back and registered him for school. And then she brought him on the first day and left him with us. And we realized Julius can't walk. And then the team for the school, they had a conversation with the mom, and then they had to make a decision. They had to say, what are we going to do? And that was the next step that God put in front of our school. And the teachers all together said, "No, we want to work with Julius." And there was a man in Phoenix, Arizona, who had a heart for children with disabilities. We visited his church on one of our homestays, and we showed a picture of Julius. And he started asking questions about Julius. And God put Julius on his heart, and he said, "How do you pay for the physical therapy for Julius and the medical care for him?" And then he said, "Is that something that I could do?" And it was just a simple step, but it was a step God wanted him to make. And we could talk for days, literally, about all these kinds of things, decisions that we make, things that God leads us into us, and it comes, God's purpose comes as we first come to him, spend time in his presence, learn to hear his voice, and then as we look to see where he is working and what he is doing. And then there always has to be that response, that step of obedience. God is calling us to serve him and to follow him each and every day. There's always many steps that God is putting before us each and every day. The question is, are we willing to take that next step that God is giving to us, that purpose that we're going to be able to walk into? And then, you know, what struck me about this passage is that all of these individuals, sometimes in our walk of faith, we often feel that we're alone. I mean, and I can tell you that's one of the real challenges of being a missionary on the field is that many times you just feel isolated and alone. And some you do have your days. You wonder, does anybody care? Is anybody with us? Those sorts of things. But it's not just us. It's you as well. All of us have that experience and feeling in our lives, don't we? We are going through a battle with cancer. We are challenged with our kids and decisions that they're making. We look at the world around us, at the culture, and we wonder, why is the culture going so crazy? We have our boss reprimand us at work, or we lose our job, and we wonder, am I alone in my struggles, in my journey, in my faith? And one of the things that comes through so strongly as you read through this passage is that all of these people, they were commended for their faith, but they knew that they were living a life of faith, not for themselves, but for others who would come. And we see that in the end. None of them saw the fulfillment of the promises that they had been given, because the fulfillment of their promises was to be seen in Jesus. Amen? And we are the benefit, we are the ones who have benefited from the faith of those who have gone before us. And we look at all the prophecies that were made about the coming of Jesus, all of the saints that were looking forward to His coming, and we get to live in a time where we have experienced His coming. Hallelujah! Because Jesus has come, He has died for us, He has risen for us, we have trusted in His name. And because of that, the power that raised Jesus from the dead now lives in us. Amen? And we are able to walk by faith, and we know that there is a better country that we're waiting for, a heavenly one. We know that this isn't the destination where we are here, but there's a heavenly destination. And it's to be in the presence of Jesus. But all of that we've experienced is not by ourselves. It's because of all those that have gone before us. And whenever we begin to feel that we're alone, we can remember that. And Paul urges the Hebrew believers that he's writing to remember and to think about and to consider all of those that have gone before us, that great cloud of witnesses, and let their faith encourage us and strengthen us and inspire us to keep going, to not give up, to keep seeking after Jesus, and to emulate their faith, that as they look to Jesus, as they look to their promise, as they look to their purpose, and as they looked to the people of God. And this is the thing that I think Cindy and I are so conscious of. In the picture here are four of our interns at Zuleika Refugee Camp. These are young people that are learning to walk with Jesus each and every day, and they're able to do that because of your faithfulness. We are connected in the body of Christ, amen? But the body of Christ isn't just here. The body of Christ is wherever there are true, authentic believers in Christ seeking to follow Him. Cindy and I experienced that in a very real way when our son went through a health crisis. And we started hearing from people all around the world, from China and from Thailand and from the UK and from the US and from India, places that we couldn't believe people would be reaching out to us to say, we're praying for Isaiah, we're praying for you. And I began to realize just how big the kingdom of God is. Because as we're praying here today, people are praying around the world, amen? As we're worshiping here today, people around the world are worshiping. As we are listening to the Word of God today and seeking to know Him more fully, people are doing that in China and around and throughout Asia and India and in Europe and in South America and in New Zealand and here in the U.S. and in Canada, all across the world. You are not alone, and we are not alone. And this work of the kingdom, we cannot do alone. Amen? That is something that we have learned, and it's why we cherish our partnership that we have with you. Is that we are depending on your prayers. And we are depending on your love and your partnership. And I pray that you are also depending on our prayers and our partnership and our love. And it's one of the most powerful things that we see, I believe, in the kingdom of God. And all these things, though commended through their faith, that they did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us they would not be made perfect. Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also set aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And then finally, Paul encourages these believers and us as well to look at our inheritance. There is a reward for faith, and the reward is Christ. The reward is being in his presence for all of eternity. Amen. What does Jesus say eternal life is? Eternal life is to know you, the one true God, and his Son whom he has sent. And this is why, for me, really, the message always goes down to number one, look to Jesus. It always has to cause us to ask that question, am I growing deeper in my relationship with Jesus each and every day? Because what we're looking for and hungering for and thirsting for can't be found here in this world. Hebrews 11:16, but as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. There's a point in here where it said if they weren't looking for that better country, if they weren't truly trusting in Christ and a better future, they would go back to where they came from. And it helps me to remember how so oftentimes in the Exodus story, we see the people are saying, can't we go back to Egypt? We had it so much better off when we were in slavery. And sometimes we are tempted in our Christian life to go back to the ways that we used to live. But the ways that we used to live only produce bondage and suffering in our lives. God is calling us to something better. God is calling us to hope and peace and joy and eternal life. There's no greater joy than to be found in Jesus and with him and following him every moment of every day, step by step following him, learning to abide in Christ and that he would abide in us. There's no better thing. And he is leading us to a new eternity, a new place, a new home. And that's the purpose of our following him. There is a reward for faith. The reward for our faith is greater than any suffering we will endure in this life. Amen. This is what Paul tells us in this book, and this is why he's encouraging them, because the Bible is very clear. We will go through times of persecution if we're truly following Jesus Christ. The world hated Jesus, and the world still hates Jesus, and the world will hate those who love Jesus as well. But Jesus says, I have overcome the world. Amen? And so this is our place. So just a few takeaways, some action steps I wanted to give you today. It's just very simple. When I talk about discipleship, this is the one core piece that we teach young people, that we teach pastors. I think it's the most important thing we do. We disciple people in, and that is that we want people to have a time that they spend with God every day, a time in his word, a time in prayer. Some people have said that we talk to God in prayer and he talks to us through his word. It's more dynamic than that, actually, because when we're in prayer, it's a conversation, it's a relationship that's being developed. And the same thing, when I open the word of God, I know that God is speaking to me. It's his word, it's his voice, it's his presence. Amen. The Bible isn't just a book, it's the very presence of God. And every time we open that book, whether we understand what we're reading or not, and our goal is to understand what we're reading, and we study the Word of God so that we can understand it. But it doesn't matter. Whenever you open the Word and start to read it, God's presence is there with you. You aren't leading it by yourself. It's never an academic, or should never be an academic process if you approach the Word of God by faith. But do you have a time every day? Do I have a time every day when I'm in the presence of God, inviting his presence? We teach young people, we teach pastors. When you have that time with God, invite his presence. Believe that he is there with you. Look to hear what he's saying to you through his word. Because that really is the key point. That's how we walk with him every day. When we start to lose our way as Christians, when we start to lose our way as pastors, it's when we say, oh, I just don't have time for that. We must make time to spend time with God in prayer and in His Word. Our devotional life is so, so important, and it should be growing. It should be growing. We should be desiring to spend more and more time in His Word. Yes, it's great. We can say, I have a time every day. I have a devotion, daily devotions that I do every day. But is it growing? Is it increasing? Are you starting to feel that desire to have more and more time in His presence? This is what should be the outflow of that. So spend time in God's presence every day is the first action step. Secondly, is surrender your plans to God. You know, the Bible says a man's mind plans his ways, but the Lord directs his step. We have lots of ideas, and that's probably why we have lots of ministries in Malawi. So we can have lots of ideas of things that we want to do, things that we accomplish, but we always have to surrender those plans to God. To say, God, here's what I'm thinking. Here are my plans, but God, would you show me your plans, your ways? What do you want me to do? We all have visions for our own lives, right? And for our own families, for our own children, what we want them to become. And I don't know about you with parenting. You probably had specific ideas what each of your kids would be doing. And probably if you're like us, they're not doing those things. They found something different to do that's probably better for them. And so surrender your plans to God and listen to what His plans are for you. Disciple your family. Our first ministry is always our home, our own children. What does it profit us if we have a great impact on others, but not on those that are within our own home, those that are closest to us? We disciple each other as husbands and wives. What a beautiful testimony we had this morning of a lifetime of marriage. Amen. And so we disciple each other. I learn from Cindy each and every day. I hope that she learns from me as well. One of the most challenging things for us is to be in Malawi when our kids are here. So we try to look for opportunities to keep discipling them, but spend time with your kids, disciple them, pray for them, pray with them, encourage them to have a daily time with God. These are the ways that we stay connected with Him. Do something to get out of your comfort zone. This is what we see in this passage, is that when we walk by faith, God leads us into places that we never thought that we would go. And wherever we go that God leads us, it may be scary to us at the beginning, but we know that we can do it because God is with us. God doesn't ever ask us to go anywhere where, number one, He doesn't promise to go with us, and He doesn't promise us to give us just what we need at the moment that we need it. One of my favorite stories of a visiting team was a friend of ours, Paul Hinneker. He was in Malawi, and he was asked by one of our African pastors to come speak on a Sunday morning, and Paul is not an out front guy. And so he was just complaining, and he was complaining to God, and he told me the next morning he was in the van going back to his guest house, and he was saying to God, but God, I don't have anything to share. I don't have anything to say. And he said, when in the quiet moment I heard God speak to me and say to me, you mean that you have been following me for 40 years and you don't have anything to say? And he said, I was so convicted that I went home and I opened my Bible and I started asking God to show me what He wanted me to say to that church the next day. God is always going to give us what we need to do what He wants us to do, but He wants to know, are we willing? Cindy and I have always had that commitment. One of the reasons we're in Malawi is that we always had that commitment to say, God, if you will show us where you want us to go, we'll always go where you call us to go, wherever that may lead. And that's the life of faith, isn't it? That's why it requires faith. It requires dependence. We are all, if we are really honest, like Abraham. God is leading us someplace. We just don't know where we're going to end up. But there's such joy in the journey. There's joy in following Him, knowing we're with Him. When the disciples first started following Jesus, they didn't know where they were going to end up. They didn't know they were going to become world changers and turn the world upside down with the gospel. They just learned to walk with Him every day, step by step. And we need to do the same. So we need to do things to get out of our comfort zone. share the gospel with somebody that you've been hesitant to share the gospel for. Pray for those that you find it difficult to pray for. Go on a short-term mission trip. Go someplace and do something that might seem difficult to you, but you know God is leading you to do it. Step out in faith, and He'll be faithful to help you to accomplish that. And then encourage those who are serving God in other parts of the world. I was kind of tempted, maybe I should soften this a little bit, because it does seem a little self-serving, doesn't it? You know, encourage those that are in missions. Well, I'm in missions, so it's like I'm asking you to encourage us. But you know, there's so many people serving God in so many different places. You know, there's people here in Pennsylvania doing amazing things that need encouragement. There's people in hard places in the U.S. that are in need of encouragement. There's people serving. All of those people that are on the back wall are serving in hard places, and they need encouragement and prayer and strengthening. And that's what we see in this passage, is that every time we step out on faith, God gives us an opportunity to come alongside other people and to help them, to encourage them, to strengthen them. How do we encourage and strengthen people? We pray for them. As God opens the door, we let them know that we're praying for them. We let them know that we're with them, that we really care about what you're doing. We really care about your life. And that's why it's been so meaningful for Cindy and I to be able to come to Lance and feel the warmth, to feel the genuine care. We just can't describe how meaningful that is. But I pray, and I see the evidence of it here, but I pray that you will resolve each and every day to take the walk of faith, to spend time with God every day, to listen for His voice, to try to hear what He's calling you to do, the promises He has for you, to ask Him, Lord, what is the next step that you have for him? And then encourage to take that next step, knowing that He will enable you to walk into whatever the future He has for you, whatever the step of obedience He has for you.